Father, I thank you again as we gather together. We give you, Lord, glory and praise. Thank you. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings understanding and even light as well. It brings light and it gives us understanding. We need that even today as we examine this topic. Blessed be the name of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to talk about spiritual discernment and the discerning of spirits. Now, that is such a necessary topic that we need to look into from time to time. What is discernment? Well, according to the Bible, you know, what is spiritual discernment? We're going to talk about that. We're going to give some examples. We're going to talk about how to discern the voice of the Lord as well. And we're going to talk about, you know, how to cultivate this discernment. Let's see what the Lord will give us today. So, you can think of it as the quality, the spiritual quality of being able to distinguish or tell apart truth from falsehood, right? Good from evil, and the ability and the capacity to make sound judgment, you know, whether, you know, according to, you know, God's will rather than just, you know, human emotions and things like that. There are many ways to develop spiritual discernment. That's also natural discernment. And we'll talk about all those things. And then we'll talk about there is a gift called the discerning of spirits. It's not a gift of discernment. That's not what it's called. But it's called the discerning of spirits. The ability to tell apart, you know, the workings of different spirits. Not just evil, but also angels at work and different things like that. So that's the topic today. And I will proceed with telling what it is not first, and then what it is. So spiritual discernment is not suspicion, you know, and the gift of discerning of spirits, you know, necessarily, I mean, is not suspicion. You don't need the Holy Spirit to help you with that. We can all suspect and do things on our own. But when we're talking about spiritual discernment, natural discernment could be, you know, we could be using suspicion for natural discernment. And what does that mean? Well, you know, we already know something about something or someone. And, you know, because of that, you know, we are kind of suspicious of their actions. Well, that's just suspicion. You know, that doesn't mean that you are able to discern anything necessarily. It could be good in natural realm. It may not be good either. The other day we dealt with the subject of not everything that glitters is gold. And just because something is not glittering doesn't mean it's not gold. You know, so suspicion is something may not look glittering, you know, and, you know, the natural way of doing things, you know, we may prejudge a situation, you know, I mean, you may be in a close setting, you know, and then somebody is there, you're discussing a subject, I'm talking of a Christian setting, I'll perhaps say Bible study, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, home fellowship or whatever. And, you know, we may be suspicious of somebody's response to a topic, either because we don't like that person or we don't know that person or whatever, you know, or maybe they're new or something. You know, you never know really, you know, what the person brings. I remember a scenario years ago, many years ago. I was a young man, probably around 1920. I went to this place. I went to a fellowship for the first time. I was looking for a prayer meeting that day. But I saw a notice. It was my first day on a particular, well, not first day, but, you know, first few days on a particular campus that I was in. And I've been running around doing registration and stuff like that. So, you know, I kind of needed some refreshing. So I was looking to see, well, do they have, you know, a prayer meeting? I wanted a prayer meeting. So I went to the notice board. I looked and I saw a notice, you know, some fellowship. I said, oh, great. I went there. I was kind of looking for a prayer meeting. Well, you know, because I really needed to pray and then let things out. But it was a Bible study. Not that there was anything wrong with that. It was just my expectation. And when I got there, there was a, they were already, you know, because I was late, they had already discussed, I mean, announced the topic. I didn't know what the topic was. And they had already broken into groups, various groups. You know, they sat around in little clusters. So when I got in, I figured, well, you know, looks like there's groups. So I just joined one. It was my first time there. So I joined one. And what were they discussing? Well, they were discussing the subject of revival in the church. And I said, well, this is not a bad one. But as I listened, somebody said, well, somebody was trying to tell us, you know, about the history of revival or something like that. And somebody talked about, so the person said something about revival on the day of Pentecost. Well, okay. In those days, I was always quick to, react to things. And also because, look, I don't know. You know, that's just the way I was those days. So, you know, as soon as they said it, I said, excuse me. Hold on. You know, and everybody looked at me because I was new. Nobody knew me. So it's like, what is he going to say? I said, well, there was no revival on the day of Pentecost. I said, and then the place was just silent. I said, who is this troublemaker? You know, I mean, get with the program here. We're talking about revival on the day of Pentecost. And I said, well, no, there was no revival on the day of Pentecost. So they looked at me. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, the day of Pentecost was the birth of the church. You can't revive something that was not there. I said, now is when you need revival because now the church is sleeping. And, you know, I don't know why I said it. I had no idea I was going to say something like that. But that was my mindset, you know, back in those days. You know, you see something that didn't sound right, you just say it. So I was a very, very young man, you know. Maybe today I probably would have just listened, you know, and said nothing. I don't know. But as soon as I said it, I was like some kind of rumbling and people didn't appreciate the fact that this strange person just come on in there and turn everything upside down, you know. And, some people suspected that this young man was coming here to make trouble. Now that's suspicion. It's not that they discerned anything, but just because of the thing around it. But anyway, at the end of that lesson, that was the only thing I said. And then I listened throughout the rest of it. So when we finished, we walked away. Everybody walked away. And I was walking away. And then there were a couple of people that had discernment, you know. Now, most of the people that were in that group, and it was quite a group, a number, might have been 8, 9, or 10, I don't remember. You know, most of them just, you know, say, who's this person? But a couple of people ran after me as I was walking away. They said, hello, you know, whatever, I don't remember. Is that what they say? Hey, what was that all about? I said, well, just like I said it. They said, well, we will hear you more on that matter. And they followed me to some place and they said, tell us what, you know, that was intriguing. And, you know, that caught our attention. I said, well, And then that thing, that one thing to the glory of God, I'm not saying it to glorify myself. I'm just bringing out a point. That one thing led to a lot of things. You know, I found out later by talking to those people, those two, that, they had been looking for something and they were stifled. You know, they were in a group, and in that group at that time, they used to be in another group. You know, those who grew up, you know, in Nigeria in those days, we used to have things like Scripture Union and so forth. And they were in another group where they had been received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were young folks. And Scripture Union came in there and said, no, there's nothing like speaking in tongues. You know, this is all nonsense. You guys need to get rid of that. And then the group that they were in now, they were suppressed. So, you know, when I came around, now because these two already had the Holy Spirit, but they were being suppressed. You know, there was a trigger in them that there's something in there. Now that's discernment. Now you may not, you know, with discernment or spiritual discernment, you may not understand it all, but there is something in there. I mean, you know that there's something in there, not just because you don't like the person, you don't know the person. You know, so, well, we started to talk. One thing led to another. They told me about themselves. This short history I already told you how, you know, they were, you know, being forced to not speak in tongues or believe the things of the Spirit anymore. And they were looking for something. Oh, then I said, oh, you know, and incidentally, you know, I had experienced something like that from where, you know, the school I came from. So we started to talk. They said, well, I said, look, you know, you can't be like that. You know, if these things are true, you know, we got to let the truth prevail and things like that. We started talking. Eventually, we said, well, this guy said, look, we're not going to that fellowship again. I mean, it was just one thing that I said that day. Let's start our own thing. And then one thing led to another, you know, eventually many of the people started coming from that so-called, they said it was a dead fellowship. I didn't know. I've never been there. It was just my first day. And then we started doing something. And indeed, something broke out in that campus. The Federal School of Science, Lagos. Something broke out in that campus, and it led to, you know, an amazing, amazing thing. But what I wanted to bring out was that many people who were in that circle on that table that day used, you know, natural suspicion to dismiss the young man who came and said something. A couple of them had some kind of discernment, and not necessarily discerning of spirits. They didn't have the gift, but they had some kind of discernment. I said, look, there's got to be something there. Something, there was a trigger, you know, and then it led to something good. Now that's a lesson. There are stories like that in the Bible where there was discernment of sorts. And, you know, sometimes when there was no discernment, where there should have been. And, you know, and so, you know, let's talk about it. And there are stories in the Bible where, you know, majority did not carry the vote, you know, of what people thought. Some interesting stories. Let's look at some of them. Some of you are already guessing what these stories might be. In no particular order, I want to talk about some of these stories. You know, there is one in 1 Kings chapter 22, the story of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Both of these were kings. Ahab was king over Israel. Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. And, you know, they were kind of, they were all related somewhat. So this story was interesting because, you know, I find it interesting because here's what happens. Ahab one day says, well, you know, Ramoth in Gilead, isn't it ours? Why don't we go up and take the place? Why are we just letting them be, you know, in rebellion? We need to go up and take it. So, says to Jehoshaphat, who's also king on the other, you know, remember at that time the kingdom was divided. There were 10 parts to Israel, 2 parts to Judah. Say, okay. He said, will you go with us to battle here so that we can go get this place? Jehoshaphat said, yeah, of course, we are brothers, you know, as you are, so we are, my people, your horses, mine, yours, everything, yeah. We're brothers. Let's do it. He said, however, let's inquire, you know, of the word of the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat, of course, came from the lineage of David, right? These people knew how to, you know, inquire of the word of the Lord. He said, well, let's inquire of the word of the Lord whether we should do this thing. Well, so, you know, the king said, okay, that's cool. I've got some prophets here. So king of Israel, that is, gathers together all his prophets. There are about 400 of them. Now, that's a lot of prophets, ladies and gentlemen. You know, now remember the Bible says that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And the Bible said that. So, calls 400 people together, say, shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Will the Lord give it into our hands, even if we do it? And all the prophets, every last one of them, all of them, with one accord, said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Well, that's good news. Now, you only need two or three to confirm the word, but now you got 400 confirming the word. So that's a great confirmation. A multitude of counselors, you know, safety. So, I mean, by now, the king is saying, wow, this is good. But there's something in Jehoshaphat. You know, it's Jehoshaphat man said, well, okay. You know, it's like a trigger. It's like that story I told. There was something in those two young men that followed me. There was something in this Jehoshaphat that said, well, I don't know. Is there not a prophet besides of the Lord besides this? I mean, are you kidding me? 400 people already said the same thing. You only need two or three. Why, you know, after 400 people, why are you still looking for an extra confirmation? But there was something in Jehoshaphat. Something. So, well, I don't know. You know, it was an uneasy feeling. You know, I don't know whether he knew about these prophets. Could be. But whatever. You know, he said, well, okay, let's see if there's somebody else. So the king is scratching his head, King Ahab, that is. So, well, you know, I mean, we already have 400 people that said so. You said, yeah, but I know. I need to get another confirmation. So King Ahab said, well, okay, well, there is this one guy called Micaiah. He's the son of Imla. But, you know, he never says any good thing about me, so I hate him. He always prophesying evil about me, so I don't like to hear from him. Now, so Micaiah was not in this group or school of these prophets. He was some maverick or some loner or somebody that just did his own thing. He wasn't part of the club or so forth. And he always didn't say good things to Ahab. So Ahab didn't like him. And said, well, he never says any good thing to me. Jehoshaphat says to him, don't say that. Let's call him anyway. At this point in time, Jehoshaphat is, you know, is happy. Now, if there's somebody that doesn't say something good, you know, maybe they're telling the truth. He's thinking. Because, see, you know, it's smooth words and so forth, yeah, flattery and all of that, are not necessarily always true. But if you're bold enough to say something that's not good to the king, maybe there's something there. So, Jehoshaphat wants to know. So he calls, you know, asks the king to call him anyway. So the king sends a messenger to Micaiah. When they find him, the messenger says, hey, you know, here's what's going on. King wants you. And it's called an assembly of all the prophets. Yeah, ask them one thing, and they've all said one thing. Let your word, I pray thee, today be as the rest of them, so that, you know, everybody will be going on their merry ways, and they know they have an answer from the Lord. Micaiah answers the messenger and says, well, I don't know about that one. Whatever the Lord puts in my mouth, that's what I'm going to speak. Messenger is trying to persuade him, say, look, there's a lot of think riding on this. Yeah, I mean, your word could be the deal breaker here. you know, because King Jehoshaphat was not listening to our king. He's looking for somebody else. So why don't you just speak peaceably and let everything be good? He said, well, I already told you. You know, whatever the Lord puts in my mouth, that's what I'll say. So for they get there and said, well, you know, here he is. And then they said, you know, tell us, you know, and they told him the thing. They said, well, here's what we are trying to do. We're trying to determine whether we should go to war at Ramoth Gilead and whether the Lord will give us victory. Should we do it? And the man said, well, yeah, do it now. The Lord will give you the victory. Now, he says it in a tongue-in-the-cheek kind of way, you know, the way he just nonchalantly says it. And he didn't speak with that same aura that he used to speak of, you know, thus saith the Lord, this and that. You know, Ahab knew this guy. You know, he just said, yeah, of course, you know, yeah, why don't you go up? The Lord give it to you. I said, well, you know, how many times have I told you? Why don't you just tell me what is from the Lord? Tell me the truth. He said, you can't hear the truth. You can't bear the truth. You know, if I tell you the truth, will you hear it? The times in the past when I told you the truth, did you hear it? Did you not do what you already were going to do anyway? Have you not brought me here today to speak like one of your prophets? No. I will speak what the Lord said. Okay, now tell us what did the Lord say. Jehoshaphat is thinking. You know, calm down now. You just tell us, you know, what the Lord said. And say, well, okay. If you want to hear the truth, here is the truth. I have seen all Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Now, because the king knows that he's the shepherd, right? He said, well, see, I told you. You will never say any good thing about it. Say, hold on, let's hear the rest of it. Jehoshaphat tells the king. Hold on. Tell us, what exactly did you see? He said, well, I'll tell you what. The Lord showed me and I saw the Lord sitting down and having a council meeting. And he said, well, there's Ahab down there, that wicked king. Who's going to go down there and make sure that he falls at Ramoth Gilead? That's what I saw. I said, wow. So one spirit came out, said this and said that. Another one said this and that. The Lord said, mm-mm. Then one came out and said, I'll do it. He said, well, by which means? I said, well, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. He said, yeah. The Lord said, good. Now, we don't know that that was necessarily a good spirit, but it came from somewhere anyway. So, because he said, I'll be a lying spirit. I don't think those good spirits will be a lying spirit. But anyway, the Lord said, go and prosper. And so he said, now I tell you, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and they have told you a lie to the intent that you will go and you'll be destroyed. And if you go, you will be destroyed. So Jehoshaphat say, aha, I knew there was something there. The king said, look, I tell you, King Ahab, this man doesn't like me. And I don't like him either. That's why he said this thing. Look at what all the other ones have said. Now, here's what we're going to do. Just ignore the man. You know, I mean, we have 400 people here that have already told us this. Now, Jehoshaphat makes his first mistake in this whole story. He was already in the right path. You know, some discernment inside of him was triggering that something was wrong. And he was going in the right direction. You know, but then he allows Ahab to pursue it and say, look, I've told you, this guy doesn't, never says, he always says the same bad thing about me. So let's not worry about it. Look at all these people. I've said that we can go and do it. But here's what we're going to do. Since this man said that I will not return, well, I'm going to disguise myself. I'm going to disguise myself so that they don't know that I'm the king. Now, usually in those days, the kings, they led the battle. So he said, well, I'm going to disguise myself as I'm not the king. But you wear your own king's robe. Are you kidding me? Ahab is setting up Jehoshaphat for the fall. You know, you stay as you are king, But I will wear, say, I'm the target here. I'm the one that said, this man said will not return. So, right? So I will pretend, I will hide, I will disguise, but you wear your normal kingly robe and let's go. Go with me. And Jehoshaphat went with the man. Now, he should have stayed with that inspiration that he got, but he didn't. He went with the man anyway. And they went to the battle. And I guarantee you, Jehoshaphat almost got killed that day. Now, that's what happens when, you know, this, you get that discernment and you don't follow through with it. You go against it, and the Lord already showed you, you know. And this Jehoshaphat, I thought he would have known better, but he wasn't practiced well enough to not let somebody dissuade him against what the Lord was showing him. So he went, and they almost killed him. You know, somebody saw him because he dressed like a king. They said, this is the king of Israel, get him. Because they already told them, look, once you get their king, they are finished. So you go for the king. So when they saw him, he said, so he cried, I said, I'm not the king, I'm not the king. You know, and then they realized from his speech and his dialect or whatever, this is not the king. You know, I said, no, I'm not, you know. So in any case, they got the wrong guy, try to kill him. He escapes, but somebody drew an arrow by chance, hit the guy who was disguised. But there's a part I left out that I want to tell you about. During that challenge where there was a, 400 people saying one thing and Micaiah saying the other thing, there was this guy called Zedekiah. He had come, you know, after Micaiah said, the Lord had put a lying spirit on us. And this was the head of the prophets. So he came right and gave this man, in Nigeria, we call it a dirty slap. Slap this man across the face. He said, who are you? Which way did the Spirit of God go from me and us to you? You're not one of us. How could the iron walk of the Lord has spoken to you when the Lord has spoken to us? Who are you? Smiling when the chief. And he said, you will find out who I am in that day when you will be ashamed. And then, the Zedekiah and everybody else persuaded, king to go to battle. And he himself persuaded his fellow king to go with him. And the king says, to his chamberlains and everybody, put this Micaiah fellow in prison. Feed him with the bread of affliction until I return in peace. Micaiah said, that's a good one. When the Lord had already said, send him to his death, who will go there to persuade him that he may fall? And you say you return in peace? He said, if you return at all, not even in peace, if you return at all in peace, he said, then the Lord has not spoken by me. If you return at all in peace, they carry you back, returning in peace. Because the Lord already said so. And then the rest of the story where Ahab was trying to persuade Jehoshaphat to go with them, and he went with him, and he almost got killed. And true to the word of the Lord, Ahab got killed that day. It was even a random arrow that struck him, and he got killed, for the Lord said so. But the lesson that we are finding here is there was a trigger. There was some discernment inside of Jehoshaphat at first, and he should have followed through with it. But the mercy of the Lord helped him that day. He almost lost his life. Now, that's one interesting story. Now, in this story, though, we see that 400 voices versus one voice did not necessarily mean that the voices of the 400 were the ones that were correct. So, how do you discern, when if you have two or three people that tell you the same thing or more, right? And then somebody else tells you the opposite. I mean, we have been taught in the scriptures to wait and look for, you know, two or three witnesses, and don't just jump, you know, to conclusion. Well, there were more than two or three here, and yet they were all wrong, all 400 of them. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us, number one, that, you know, what God is doing is not necessarily by numbers. You know, the balance of pendulum or the scale does not necessarily tilt, you know, in the direction of those that have the numbers when it comes to what is the Lord saying, you know, right? The Lord may be speaking only through one person, whereas the rest of the people are jumping up and saying the wrong thing. But because they are many, right? Because they are many, people think that, well, that's got to be it. So let me give you scriptures that back up that concept of, well, you got to have two or three witnesses. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15 in the Old Testament, this is where God began to give them that instruction. And they knew this instruction. And look, you know, you can't just take one person's word for it. You know, but you need two or three. You know, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. You know, but at the mouth of two or three witnesses, well, you know, let the word be established. This was the thing that the Lord had told them back then, right? So everybody knew this scripture, including Ahab, Jehoshaphat, all of them. Now, well, Jesus himself referred to this scripture in a way when he was dealing with these subjects in Matthew 18 about, you know, if your brother sin against you and so forth, you know, go tell him his fault to him by himself before you tell somebody else. You know, Matthew chapter 18 from verse 15. And then in verse 16, he said, well, you know, if we will not hear you, right? And so he's referring to this same scripture. I mean, Jesus was always, you know, trying to align, you know, with the scriptures. Well, if we will not hear you, he said in Matthew 18 and 16, well, take with you one or two more, so that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, the word may be established. Now, this is the same scripture from Deuteronomy, and Jesus is saying the same thing here. So we see that that's a concept, you know, that was well known. Even Paul, when he was talking to the Corinthians, right, he said many things. In one place, he said, look, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. You know, it's also by the mouth of two or three witnesses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 also, he said, you know, something similar. You know, the attempts that I've made to come and visit you guys and so on. I was talking about it. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I mean, he's quoting this thing. Throughout the scriptures, we see this. You know, also in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 19. He's telling Timothy, be careful now how you receive, you know, accusations and so forth. Especially, you gotta be very careful, especially against an elder. Don't receive an accusation just like that, you know, unless you have two or three witnesses. So all these scriptures have given us that background. So if Jehoshaphat had followed this principle just blindly, I mean, nobody could have blamed him, because that's what the scripture said. Just said, well, you know, we had more than two, we had more than three, we had 400. They could have done that. But this is the advantage that spiritual discernment gives you over the letter. A letter said it one way, spiritual discernment goes in there and sees something different. That's powerful stuff. Now, that's one story. And, you know, you can call that Micaiah versus Zedekiah. Well, there's another story where, one person said it one way, and that person said it another way. This one is Jeremiah versus Hananiah. That one is in Jeremiah chapter 28. Now, there are many things that Jeremiah was prophesying in those days, evil that would come upon the land, because, you know, what the Lord had already said to him. And, how they would go into captivity, and how, Nebuchadnezzar and all these things would carry them away. And he was even telling them, look, if you follow and put your neck under his yoke, it'll be well with you. But if you rebel, you'll be destroyed. Now, that doesn't sound good. Why should we allow ourselves to be taken captive? That didn't sound good. So some political prophets got up and, they brought something that sounded better. You know, they said, well, the Lord is going to change your story. All this captivity stuff, God's going to change. Well, that sounds good. when you are hearing that the Lord is going to change your captivity, it actually sounds good. So here's what happened. There was, this man, called Hananiah. He was a prophet. Now, the Bible didn't say he was a false prophet. The Bible said he was a prophet. So, he was a prophet, and then he came and spake in the presence of all the priests and everybody. He said, "Thus saith the Lord." Okay. So, here comes, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, usually, when you hear "thus saith the Lord," that settles the matter. It just settles. And if people who are religious or Pentecostal, if they learn that trick, you can just say "thus saith the Lord" and settle every controversy. So, "thus saith the Lord." This man came out and said, "What? Well, thus saith the Lord, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now, that sounds good. It's in Jeremiah 28. That sounds good. "Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away and carried them to Babylon. I will bring them again to this place." Now, that sounds like a great word of comfort and so forth. But unfortunately, it wasn't what the Lord was saying. But it sounded good. I mean, there is the glitters, but it's not gold. This word was glittering hope and glittering, but it wasn't so, but he spoke presumptuously. It was a prophet that spoke, because they were all tired of this captivity nonsense, and they wanted, everything to be restored. So he conjured up some smooth prophecy that will make everybody feel good. And he came out and declared it. And he said, "I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." So, when Jeremiah heard it, Jeremiah just stood there and said, "Amen, a resounding amen to what you have just said." But Jeremiah knew it wasn't so. But he said amen, because he himself would like it to be like that. But he said, "Look, I tell you what. I say amen to you, and I pray that the Lord will perform your words, which you have prophesied today, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, that Nebuchadnezzar carried away. But nevertheless," he told him, "nevertheless, hear this now, this word that I speak in your ears and in the ears of all these people. The prophets that have been, before me and you of old, they prophesied, evil against many nations and so forth, against kingdoms and, of evil and of pestilence." Well, that's another way. And I'll talk about how to learn and cultivate discernment in a bit. All these things, evil, pestilence. Now, that prophet that prophesies of peace, whereas the other prophets prophesied of evil. Well, how are we going to know it? We won't. But when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then we will know that the Lord has spoken by him. So Hananiah was even going to enact this thing more. Because the Lord had told Jeremiah to wear the yoke for all these years, you know, as a symbol of the, you know, captivity. Put a yoke around his neck. The Lord told him to do that. So Ananias went close to Jeremiah, took the yoke off his neck and broke it. And said, look, this is how I am going to break the yoke, saith the Lord. Even so have I broken the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. He said it. Well, very dramatic, you know. And, well, was it so? Let's find out. So, Jeremiah went his way. And then, as Jeremiah was going his way, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, look, go and tell Ananias that you have broken the yoke of wood, but now I'm going to put a yoke of iron, you know, and they will serve this Nebuchadnezzar that you say you are not going to serve. And because I have given him all the beasts of the field, I've given the kingdoms, I've given all these things and so forth. And the Lord has not sent you, but you have made these people to trust in a lie. You know, and the Lord said through Jeremiah, I said, thus said the Lord, I will cast thee off from the face of the earth, and this year you will die because you have corrupted the word of the Lord. But the Lord did not save you. And you have taught these people rebellion against the Lord. And Hananiah died exactly like the prophet Jeremiah said. Oh, okay. In this case, it was 1-1, but this man was very emphatic. He used the words. I mean, he used the phrase, thus saith the Lord. So that's the other thing too. Just because somebody said, thus saith the Lord, does it mean it's thus saith the Lord? I mean, the 400 prophets said, thus saith the Lord. This one said, thus saith the Lord. He even enacted it. But was it? You know, so that's the question. But how do you know that it's not? If somebody says, thus saith the Lord. I mean, our culture in Pentecostal circles is to respect thus saith the Lord. So if somebody says, thus saith the Lord, I should settle everything. But does it? You know, so that's the question. This is where discernment comes in. You know, this is discernment. That's where it comes in. I'm going to tell you one more story. And then I want to tell you some things of how we should, you know, cultivate this discernment. And then there's also this, you know, this gift of discerning of spirits. Maybe we'll get to that today. Maybe not. We'll see. So there is another story here. This one, you know, it's a sad story, actually. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 13. You know, there was a young man, a young prophet. He was nameless. You know, that's one of the reasons why it's sad. Scripture never gave us his name. But you know, the story didn't end too well for the young prophet. So the young prophet, the Lord sent him to go do something somewhere. You know, it says that there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel and Jeroboam and stood by the altar, you know, when Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. So this young man, he came, he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, oh altar, thus saith the Lord, you know, and he said some things and so forth. And he said, you know, this altar is going to come crashing down and so on and so forth. Well, the Lord gave a sign, and this sign, he said, this is the sign the Lord has given, that this altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out, and so forth. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God that had cried against the altar, and this was the altar where they were sacrificing things, but the Lord was against it. You know, strange fire they were burning on there. You know, this, so the king put out his hand to, you know, to arrest the man. Say, tell him, arrest him. And the hand that the king stretched out against the young prophet, you know, the hand just dried up, just like that. And he couldn't pull it back in. And the altar was also rent. Ashes were poured out, like the Lord said. And this sign came to pass, just like that. You know, and the king cried unto the man of God, say, I have sinned, I have sinned. Pray for me now, entreat the face of the Lord, thy God. Well, now you know it's his God. And pray for me that my hand may be restored unto him. So the man, you know, prayed for him, and the king's hand was restored. I mean, so powerful miracles that this young man did. First, he prophesied something against the altar, came to pass. And then he restored the king's hand. You know, king had tried to grab him. You know, the Lord, you know, dried up his hand. I mean, so the Lord was fighting for this young man. And he prayed for the king. His hand was restored. And the king said, my goodness, this is a man of God. So the king says unto him, calls him the man of God, come home with me, you know, and refresh thyself, and I will give you a reward. The man said unto him, the king, even if you give me half your house, I'm not going home with you. And I will not eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was charged me by the word of God. Now, that was his first mistake. You know, Jesus said, cast not your pearls before swine, or not give holy things to dogs. You don't need to tell, you know, someone what the Lord told you. It's none of their concern. He should have kept that to himself. Don't say that, you know, the Lord told me to not eat bread, to not eat, drink this and that. You know, just say, no, I'm not doing it. Keep your reason to yourself. Well, he did do it. He told. And I said, well, I'm not doing it. I'm not coming. You know, no matter what you offer me, I'm not doing it. Now, this young man had his antennas up, because the king was an evil king. So, you know, naturally speaking, he was on his guard. You know, king told him anything. He said, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall for that. The Lord already told me contrary. You know, so if you tell me something, I'm not going to do it. He let, you know, his antennas work for him in that case. Because he said, well, you know, this is an evil man, so I'm not going to hear him. So he went his way. However, because he said that thing out about what the Lord told him, right, on that day, well, some people heard it that were around. So there was another prophet, we're called an old prophet. Now, he was not called an old false prophet. No, he was called an old prophet. He was there. He was older. He was a big brother. Everybody respected him and so forth. You know, but the Lord had not told him that this young man was coming. So he was getting the action as well, you know. So he said, look, what's going on? So his sons came and told him, well, you know, there was a young man, a prophet. He said, prophet? Yeah. He said, well, he did some great things. Well, really? The Lord didn't tell me. He said, well, this man did some great things. So they told him. And he said such and such. Well, he said that? Say, yeah. Well, he said he would not go into a place to eat. He said he would not go into a place to drink, because the Lord told him so. He said, really? I said, yeah. Where can I find him? So they told him, you know. Okay, so he went looking for him. Now, he went on the strength of what he heard that the young prophet had said. And the young prophet hadn't said that. Maybe all of this would not have happened. Because now this prophet is saying, well, you know, now I have something to use against him. So, this older prophet, rather. So, in his heart, he goes and finds the young man and says, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, well, I'm here and I've done the word of the Lord, like he said, but the Lord told me to not go anywhere. And so forth. I said, hold on. You know, I myself am also a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord told me that you are coming here to do this and do that. And the Lord told me to bring you to my place and to feed you and reward you for the great works you've done. And he said, really? I said, yeah. Aren't you that person that came from Judah? I said, yeah, I am. I said, well, you know, come with me. I said, no, I can't. You know, because the Lord told me. I said, no, the Lord told me too. Now, in this case, the young man let down his guard. Because this is an old prophet. Gave him his credentials. And he actually told him who he was and everything. Said, oh, yeah, I've heard of you. You know, so because he's a well-known man of God or prophet, now this young man let down his guard. His antennas were up when the king was trying to make him do what the Lord told him not to do, and he wouldn't do it. Now, when an older prophet is now trying to tell him to do what the Lord told him not to do. He let down his guard. You know, this is in man worship, right? You let down your guard. You know, this is idolatry. The Lord told you not to do something. Some great man tells you to do the same thing. They tell you, they use the name of the Lord as well. The Lord already told me. And then, so he let down his guard. So, well, maybe the Lord told him. Because he's a, you know, greater prophet than I am. He's been in the business longer. He knows the Lord better. And if he says the Lord told him, well, the Lord must have told him. So he said, yep, okay, fine. So he goes with the guy. He goes with the guy, but the Bible says, but the man lied unto him. He lied. The Lord didn't tell him anything. He heard it from his sons. And he conjured something up in his head. You know, because he wanted to bring this guy in. You know, people like to be associated with somebody that's doing some good stuff. This man came and did some good stuff. I mean, this old prophet had been there this whole time. He couldn't bring down that altar. You know, he couldn't do anything with the king. And this young man came in one day. He did all these great things. So this old prophet wanted to be associated with him. He's going to figure out one way or the other to bring him into his house. And we, you know, he's in my company. And people like to do that. So, but he lied. But he used the name of the Lord to lie. See? Now, how do you discern that? When somebody comes to you, people are naive when it comes to the things of the spirit. People are just naive. Because somebody says, thus said the Lord, they just take it. Hook, line, and sinker. Now, this man says, well, thus said the Lord. The Lord told me. So he went with him, he sat at meat. And while they were at meat, the same man that deceived him, the real word of the Lord now came to him and brought judgment against this young prophet. Now, this is why I said he was sad. And he said, because thou hast disobeyed the word of the Lord, wherein the Lord told you not to stop and eat or do this and do that, and you have done it, well, your carcass will fall by the wayside. You're not going to get back home. That was a judgment. This same prophet that deceived him, you know, brought judgment against him. And the part of this story, several parts of this story that I find very sad and very pathetic, was that the young man just took that like that. He did not ask for forgiveness. It seemed like, you know, in the olden days, everything that came to them, it was final. You know, so well, the will of the Lord be done. And they just take it like that. Now, David, he knew how to seek for the Lord's mercy. The rest of them, if the Lord said something against them, they'll just take it like that. This man never, I've noticed in this story, because I'm looking, you know, first time I read the story, I was looking, okay, well, what's this man going to do? He's going to fall on his face and say, Lord, I have sinned, I disobeyed thy word, blah, 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 blah. He did no such thing. He just took it, you know, like that. And because he did not ask for forgiveness, well, to them, in those days, they didn't know there was any such thing, you know, like that. You know, you had to really pierce the veil to understand God's forgiveness. David understood it. But in those days, people didn't know that there was forgiveness. They thought, you know, whatever God said, that was it. You know, and so this man took it. Well, unfortunately, it happened to him just like the judgment against him came. And yes, he left the place. A lion met him. He had his donkey with him. And the lion attacked them, but he did not attack the donkey. Just attacked the man. Killed him. And just stood right there. Didn't eat him. Did not attack the donkey. He did not attack anything. It was a strange sight to see. And this same lion that just attacked this young man sat there very calmly. When the old prophet heard about it, he came and saw the lion standing there calmly, not roaring, not doing anything. Not being ferocious, not even attacking the old prophet, you know. And then he knew that that was the hand of the Lord. He knew it. So he went and he buried the man and so forth. But here's the thing that the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 9. If a prophet be deceived, now prophets can be deceived, ladies and gentlemen. If a prophet be deceived, well, when he has spoken a thing, you know, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Now, this is a terrible thing, you know, and my hand shall also be against him. I, the Lord, have deceived him, will also destroy him. Unfortunately, discernment was not working for this young prophet. And he allowed himself to be deceived. He let down his guard because an old prophet, a great man of God, said something to him different than what the Lord told him. Now, maybe it was so in the olden days that people, you know, revered, you know, greater men of God than they were. But that's not the case in this old, in this New Testament. Now, we respect everybody. You give honor to everybody, like the Bible says. Yet, you must use discernment. Nobody is above the law. You know, nobody should be above the word of God. Don't elevate somebody to the point where whatever they say goes. You know, even if it was contrary to what God already told you. You see, and what people need to realize is it is what God told you that God's going to hold you accountable for, not what God told somebody else. You know, the man could have claimed that God told him, well, yeah, fine. But is that what God told you? You know, if God told you that, then cool. But if God didn't tell you, then it isn't so. In the 70s, when I was growing up, I used to hear a lot of thus saith the Lord. People were just coming into the giftings of the Spirit then, and they figured out that if they can just say thus saith the Lord, that will settle the matter. So people, everybody came up with thus saith the Lord. I mean, there was a lot of thus saith the Lord. Everywhere I went to fellowship, there was thus saith the Lord. Whether it was thus saith the Lord or not, it was always there. And even men that wanted to marry, young men in those days that wanted to marry, they go to the woman and say, thus saith the Lord, you are my wife. What in the world is that? You know, and I used to start up in those days and tell the women, don't fall for any of that. You know, thus saith the Lord, you are my wife. What is that? You know, if the man wants to marry you, let him come and tell you that he wants to marry you. Don't let the man, you know, take you hostage by thus saith the Lord. You know, people hated me for that stuff. I said, well, did the Lord tell you that? You know, why don't you check it out with the Lord? Do you have the Spirit of God or not? You know, are you a bastard that your father cannot speak to you? The Lord must speak to you on things that concern your own life. Not somebody telling you what the Lord wants you to know. You know, now they may confirm what the Lord already told you. But, you know, I see that till this day, people are always looking for a prophetic word here and there, which is good. And I have no problem against prophetic word. God gives me many my time, at times too, myself. You know, but, you know, I don't try to control people's lives. That's witchcraft. You know, if the Lord tells me something, I'll say. If the Lord doesn't tell me, I'll keep my mouth shut. You know, but if you go from place to place, from place to place to look for the word of God, you will find the word of the Lord. And it may not be the word of the Lord, you know. So there's a proverb in my language that says, you know, if you are looking for any kind of thing, you will find any kind of thing, you know. So if you are looking for the prophetic word always, instead of looking to hear from the Holy Spirit yourself, you will hear the prophetic word. It may or may not be, you know. That's the thing you've got to discover on your own. Just because somebody said, thus said the Lord, doesn't mean it's thus said the Lord. We've already seen so many stories here. How many more do you need? Now, does it mean that every time then that somebody says, thus said the Lord, that it is fake? No, doesn't mean so. But I'll tell you what this thing means. See, where the Lord said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, I was a young man in the 70s when the Lord told me this thing. I didn't know. I thought, taking the name, because, you know, when I was growing up in my country, people used to swear by the name of the Lord. They would just call God's name if they want to swear. So I thought that was what taking the name of the Lord in vain meant. Well, maybe, but that was not all of it until the day that the Lord told it to me. I said, wow, you know, I was in the assembly of people who were saying, thus saith the Lord. I wasn't even in the midst of, you know, profane people saying profanity. I was in the assembly of people saying, thus said the Lord. And the Lord told me, these people are taking my name in vain. I said, what do you mean? Because they said, oh, they said when the Lord has not spoken. And they have taken my name in vain. I said, oh my goodness. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain does not mean just you swear, you say, God, you know, use this name, you know, like we used to do in my country. They'll just name God's name when they want to swear something. Say, no, it goes beyond that. The people of God that use the name of the Lord when the Lord has not spoken, they have taken the name of the Lord in vain. That's right. Now, they can do whatever they want. It's up to you. Because Jesus said, look, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. But, you know, you don't have to be blind even if your leader is blind. And that's up to them. If they want to be blind, let them be blind. You know, I'm going to have my eyes wide open. Why should I fall into the ditch along with them? You know, that's the question. They will only both fall into the ditch if they are both blind. You know, so let the blind gates, or let the leaders be blind gates. Jesus called them blind gates. You don't enter and you will not let them enter. You are blind gates, you know, and so, but for you, you must, see, you must use discernment to know what the Lord is saying. Well, how do we learn discernment then? I'm saying that this thing is so important. How do we learn it? Well, a vital part of this message may be continued tomorrow if I don't finish it today, but let me tell you some ways that you must develop, you know, this discernment, how you can develop discernment. Now, like I said, it goes beyond natural suspicion, but experience can teach us something too. In the book of, you know, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, we read about experience. You know, experience can teach you some discernment. He said, well, strong meat belongs to those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So by reason of use means experience. And, you know, they've been around the block. They've seen these things happen, you know. So by the grace of God, I have been around, thus said the Lord, all my life. So every time I hear, thus said the Lord, he doesn't, I mean, I don't jump just because someone says, thus said the Lord. I don't discredit it, but I don't jump either, you know. I listen. And I check it out. But the Bible says, check it out. You know, prove all things. And hold fast to that which is good. And abhor that which is evil. You know, so I check it out. Now, that's reason of use. By reason of use. I was in an assembly one time. I was in the university. And one guy came one day, had a big fat Bible. Might have been Scofield Bible or whatever he carried. I don't know. I don't remember, but he had a big fat Bible. He raised his hand to give a testimony and he stood up and he gave a testimony how he had been an armed robber and how he had done all of these things and how he had done all this evil and how the Lord has now converted him. And he was appealing to the people for help so that he would not go back to his old ways. And his speech was so moving that people were trying to take up a contribution for him. Now, I sat there in that I did not discern anything, but something didn't feel right. Something never feels right to me when people are always trying to use, you know, some cunning way to get money. It didn't feel right. I didn't discern anything, but there was a brother there that discerned it. See, a brother discerned that he had a lying spirit. Now, I didn't, but something didn't feel right. Now, I wasn't moved by giving the contribution. It just didn't feel right. Nah, I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. So, but I didn't discern anything. But a brother actually discerned it. And he exposed it. And it turned out that this guy had been going from fellowship to fellowship doing the same thing. And it was all a lie. Because he had learned the lingo. You know, it's like on this clubhouse thing. People have learned the lingo to come to the house and say, whatever, to get you guys to, you know, have pity on them, compassionate, be empathetic or whatever, and then give them some money. I mean, they've learned the lingo. There's a way that you say things. There's certain things that you will say that will move the people to have compassion on you and give you money. I mean, people have learned the lingo. So when they say that, well, you must use discernment. And if you don't have discernment, that's why I say on this platform, don't fall for that. You know, let the, responsible parties. We are responsible for this platform, my wife and I. So let us figure that out. Yeah, because a lot of people come You know, he said they come in sheep's clothing, but inside they are ravenous wolves. Now, you don't know unless you have discernment. You know, so, you know, and by reason of use, we've seen cases like this, you know, where it's a lie that's underneath it, and people use couch it one way or the other to try to get sympathy from people and get them to give them money. And they go from place to place doing the same thing. And the stories are not true. They tell the story today. In fact, 15 minutes later, while they're telling the story is changing. So you know that, you know, it's all fake. You know, so that's one way, you know, by reason of use, by experience, you know, you can design, say, well, you know, let me check this out. Put the brakes on when you're not sure. Put the brakes on and check it out. To use sound judgment, you have to be grounded in the facts. Check out all the facts. I mean, don't just, you know, fall for something. Well, you say, but the Bible says Lord believes all things. Well, that's true. But the spiritual man also judges all things. You know. So, yeah, Lord believes all things. I mean, you believe them, you know. Some people say, well, you know, you believe, but you verify. You trust, but you verify. You know. You say, well, you know, Lord believes all things. Yeah, I mean, I believe that, but I got to verify. And the Lord may show you something. Also, by experience, you may know. You've seen things like this. So, you know, that's one way of discernment, you know, experience. You know, the most powerful way, though, sometimes, apart from, you know, somebody that actually has the gift of discerning of spirits, we'll come to that. Most powerful way is the Word of God, you know. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to his word. That means when you hear somebody speak, the litmus test, so to speak, is match that with the word of God. Now that means also that you must know the word of God for yourself. If you don't know it, you know, how are you going to know that what they are saying is the word of God? And, you know, so, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in that thing. So get away from it. Now, so that's a practice that I have taken over the years. Just know, you know, I've got to know the word of God. I think I know the word of God. So when somebody speaks, I check it out. Does it align with the word of God? Are they saying the mind of Christ? And if it doesn't look like it, you can't just go by, you know, something, you know, that comes to pass just because they said it. You know, there are many lessons that we learn, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy that tells us that, you know, a prophet may tell you something in the name of the Lord, and it may come to pass. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, they were told, he said, look, how will you know when somebody speaks in the name of the Lord, whether or not what they are saying is from the Lord? He said, well, if the thing that they speak does not come to pass, well, that's the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Because the Lord doesn't guess. So, if the Lord, I mean, if you hear someone that speaks in the name of the Lord, that the Lord's going to do this, the Lord's going to do that, and then the Lord doesn't do it, well, the Lord said, you know, the prophet that has presumed to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him, well, he said, that prophet should die. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 18. That's how bad it was. And then he said, well, but if I would have said, if you say in your heart, well, how do I know then that this is what the Lord has spoken? This is Deuteronomy chapter 18. And you can read that, you know, from verse 20 to the end. Say, well, how do I know then that this is the thing the Lord has spoken? He said, well, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the thing doesn't come to pass, then that's the thing which the Lord has not spoken, because the Lord doesn't guess. Say, oh, okay. All right. So that's good. Then what about Deuteronomy 13 though? And I always, when I talk on this subject, I always like to read Deuteronomy 18 before Deuteronomy 13. Because Deuteronomy 18 gives you a principle, which Deuteronomy 13 now comes back and says, well, check it out. So in Deuteronomy 18, we say, well, if they say and doesn't come to pass, well, that's the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Well, what if they do say and it comes to pass? You know, they give you an accurate declaration and it comes to pass. But in addition to that, on top of that, they now tell you something that does not align with the word of God. Now, their prediction comes to pass. You know, whatever they say to you comes to pass. They may have a word that appears to come to pass. But on top of that, in Deuteronomy 13, he now says, well, they do say something and that actually came to pass. But then they now tell you to do something that is contrary to the word of God, like let's follow other gods. Now, that's outrageous. But you know, somehow they tell you something that does not align with the scriptures. That's why Isaiah 8 and 20 say, go to the word, check it out. Are they speaking according to this word or not? Well, if he doesn't, he said, well, he said, thou shalt not hearken. If it doesn't line up, something else they tell you, even though their signs come to pass, something else they tell you doesn't line up with the word of God, say, don't hearken to that dreamer or that prophet. For the Lord your God is proving you. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 13, the first 5 verses. The Lord is proving you to see where your heart is at, whether you will walk after the Lord or just follow signs and wonders. So there you have it. You know, this is the balanced meal. Just because what they say come to pass doesn't mean, you know, that the Lord sent them if they say other things to draw your heart away from the Lord. So that's again another way to learn discernment. Know the word of God. Praise God. Walking in the spirit. Powerful, powerful way to discern. Because in the book of, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says that the things of God are spiritually discerned. So that's spiritual discernment. You know, the things of God, they're spiritually discerned. And the flesh, natural mind, you know, cannot know those things because they are spiritually discerned. So there is such a thing called spiritual discernment, which is cultivated by walking in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, you walk in the spirit, you begin to learn the ways of the spirit. What is walking in the spirit there? And that's a topic for another day. Now, another way of learning spiritual discernment is actually to pray. To pray for it. Spiritual discernment can also be called prudence and wisdom. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 9, we see Solomon praying for this. He said, Lord, give me a wise heart so that I may be able to discern good or evil. How can I lead this, your great people? I'm a young child and this, your people, is so great. And I have this responsibility thrust on me and I don't know what to do. Give me a discerning heart. And he prayed. So another way to curate or build this, discernment is to pray, pray, Lord, give me a heart to understand how to judge this people and I'll be able to discern between good and evil. 1 Kings 3 and 9. And the Lord did it. The thing he says, please the Lord. And the Lord answered it. So we see that prayer actually worked to give him discernment. And he was able to discern. Two women came to him one day, told one story or the other, and he was able to discern, even though their stories both looked, somehow, he was able to put a test out there and discern, the story. So that's one way of doing it. And James says the same thing, or similar thing in James chapter 1, it talks about if you are asking God, if you lack wisdom or discernment, you should ask the Lord, and the Lord will give you, but you must ask in faith. Nothing doubting, but he also talks about asking. Let him ask in faith. If any man lacks wisdom, he said, well, let him ask in faith. That's James chapter 1 verse 5. So prayer is another way. Wisdom here can be discernment, because that's what Solomon prayed for. Give me wisdom so I can know how to discern. Give me a heart of understanding. I mean, how to discern, between good and evil. And this Solomon finally wrote a lot of things. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom can also be discernment. And with all that getting, get understanding. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 talks about wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Get discernment. listen, you can get these things by also asking in prayer, you know, asking prayer. Finally, a powerful way of discerning, of discernment is if you have the gift of discerning of spirits. That's so powerful. You know, and the Lord can show you, you know, what's behind the apparent glittering that is actually not gold. It looks like it, but that's deception. The one that has the discerning of spirits, they can tell when there is evidence that people are presenting, but it's false. You know, it's kind of like in Acts chapter 5, there was discerning of spirits. Peter was there, and people were doing some good things, selling their stuff, bringing money, and dividing, letting the disciples, apostles divide it. And Ananias and Sapphira were also there, and they had planned some evil in their heart. And when they stood before Peter, discerning of spirits right there. Now, these gifts of the Spirit work together. Some people say it's word of knowledge, some say it's discerning of spirit. But yeah, he was discerning of spirit. Because he did discern that there was an evil intention to lie before the Holy Spirit. He said, why have you allowed your heart to deceive you in lying against the Lord? You know, lying to the Lord. You can't lie to the Holy Spirit. So that's discerning. But it was a gift of the Spirit, because there's no way Peter could have known that. He wasn't there, you know, when Ananias and Sapphira were doing that and colluding to lie to the Holy Spirit. Why have you colluded? The man was there first. His wife came in later on. And Peter asked her the same. Did you also agree with your husband that this was the price that you sold this thing? Did you? Is this what you did? He said, yes. He said, well, you also have lied. And the judgment was swift. Yeah. Back there, Bible says fear fell upon the people. So ladies and gentlemen, that's today's lesson. I'm going to leave it there. I do want to do part two of this because I rushed it at the end there. I want to do part two of it. Perhaps the Lord will let me do it tomorrow. But I want to give some time for us to chat over it. But it's powerful. Powerful subject. I have some other things. I have some other instructions to give. I don't have the time today. So I do think I will do part two. But let's talk about this. You know, I'm going to pray over the room. And then I'm going to open it up. Today's lesson has been about spiritual discernment and discerning of spirits. So we have talked about stories in the Bible where it looked like the majority would carry the vote, but they were wrong. We have also looked at a story in the Bible where somebody that seemed to be more advanced in spiritual things would, you know, have the upper hand, but they were wrong. We've seen where somebody let down their guard just because a bigger prophet was speaking to them, and he was wrong. We've seen where somebody was initially discerning, but then allowed himself to be spoken or tricked into it, and he almost got killed, Jehoshaphat. I mean, we've seen so many stories. Now, I'm going to pray that the Lord will help us in discernment. You need discernment in your personal life. You know, I mean, if you're a young woman and two or more men come to you and say, thus said the Lord, you're my wife, and whose wife are you going to be? That's a funny one, but at most, one of them is correct, or all of them are wrong. So, because you can't, you know, you can't be the wife of three or four men that say, you say, Lord, you're my wife. You know, you need discernment. That's not even the right way to propose to a woman anyway. But you need discernment, you know. And people who are out there using the name of the Lord to cajole people, well, they're taking the name of the Lord in vain. And to the Lord, you know, said the Lord will not hold guiltless he that taketh his name in vain. They will pay dearly for it. They don't think so now, because they think they're getting away with it. And scripture says, well, because God is not swift in raining down judgment, then men's hearts are hardened to continue to do evil. But people that say the Lord has said, when the Lord hasn't said, with the hope of deceiving people to do something or to make merchandise of them, they will have to answer to the Lord for it. But now I'm going to pray for you and for me. that the Lord will give us spiritual discernment. Praying for the gift of the Spirit is also good. But we're going to pray that the Lord will give us spiritual discernment, at least. So, Father, I thank you. And I give you, Lord, the praise and the glory for this discussion today and this word of the Lord. The Bible says that if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. Get away from it. If what I have spoken today is not according to the word of the Lord, then you should get away from it. But if it is according to the word of the Lord, then you know that the Lord has spoken to you. Praise the Lord. Father, give us discernment, Lord, like Solomon prayed. Give us a heart of understanding that we may be able to discern good and evil. Help us to be able to see the workings of good angels and the cunningness of evil spirits as well. Now, unto him that is able to direct us into the Spirit of God and help us to walk in the Spirit, unto him we commit our spirits that we may walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord will help us. Teach us, O Lord, your ways and direct us. Help us to not fall into, the cunningness of man. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.